So my court date was today, and unfortunately I lost. And the thing that strikes me the most is that I knew I was gonna lose before the hearing. I was hyped because I had a black female judge. But then I asked God to lead me to a verse. And as soon as I read this verse, I knew I was gonna lose. And it didn't matter if it was a black female, didn't matter what her race was, what gender. This verse told me everything. And it's Jeremiah 4:18. Your own conduct and actions have brought this on you. This is your punishment. How bitter it is. How it pierces to the heart. And that's exactly what it did. So I read that and I was like, God sent me a message. I'm going to lose this case. And then regardless of all the other feelings I have, she won and she lied. She lied about her boyfriend. She completely denied the man she was with when she sent it to me in text that it was indeed true. And then she got in court and she lied. And that wasn't the reason why I was getting the restraining order, because I don't care about that. Anyone can have her. I think for what she's doing, it's pure evil. And I just would never do this to someone. So whoever it is, anyone can have her. She is all yours. So that wasn't it. I just think that all the emotional abuse that I suffered in the beginning, if you can understand my earlier podcasts, she twisted it and lied, and the judge believed her. And this is where I think the judge went wrong. Here I am, this Hispanic, aggressive female and aggressive looking female in a God is Dope Kobe t-shirt, while this white woman, all pristine and her speech is clear and perfect grammar, in her business suit, looking in her face and lying. When she first handed down her ruling, she said that she was gonna enforce the restraining order. But then Rainbow responded by saying, I don't think it's a restraining order, and let me give you the reasons why. And when the judge said, well, you had your chance, I was like, phew. And I was hoping she would leave it there. But then she was like, no, go ahead. Why? And Rainbow lied. And the judge believed her. And I told the judge, so these other things that happened to me, does it matter? How I was treated didn't matter. And she believed her. And she clicked off the Zoom. Ended it just like that. It was rude. It was disrespectful. And all I wanted her was to hear me. To hear me. To hear my part. And she abruptly cut me off. And ended it by ending the Zoom call. It was the most degrading thing I have ever been through. It was, I will never go through the criminal justice system ever again. Number one, because I'm not gonna have to, because I'm never gonna commit a crime. And number two, my divorce is already in court. And 1,000%, I feel like I'm gonna be judged based on the fact that I have nothing and I have no college education, the color of my skin, and my appearance. I'm not walking in being somebody I'm not. You may get me in a nice shirt, but this is a Zoom call. I'm not in court. I should be able to be comfortable and not be judged on what I'm wearing or how I look or the color of my skin. And it's the same thing that, you know, in white judges, discriminate against black people. It's that feeling when black people discriminate against Hispanics. We're all in this together. We all receive discrimination. And it doesn't matter, you know, white, black, white, black on black. It's everywhere. It's gay. It's everywhere. It's everything. Fat, skinny. You know, it's just discrimination, classism, and that's what I think what happened to me. I'm this Puerto Rican girl with no money and no college education. I have no career because I had my stroke and I lost everything. And I feel like I was judged based on that because I was telling the truth. And she lied. And she even denied her boyfriend. I wonder how he would feel if he knew that. That he was completely denied. But it was probably their plan. But Rainbow is, she is conniving. And she's deceiving. She is the devil. Like straight up the devil. And, you know, she fooled another one, and she won. But she's not going to win with God because she committed a sin against me the whole entire time. And she just broke all her vows. And then she committed a sin by everything that she did to me because you're not supposed to do that to your spouse. And then she committed another sin by lying in court. So how many times, you know how many times Rainbow has been in court? How many times she probably lied for what she thought was personal gain to try to cover up the good old boys of her company because she rose up the ranks quick. So if she's gonna lie in something this petty, and I wasn't asking for a lot. I was asking for some breathing room to breathe, to be able to take care of myself on a fucking minimum wage request and be able to help my mother. That's all I wanted. And she lied for something so minimal. This woman makes six figures. And for her to lie to win that little battle, she must really hate me. And I was talking to my friend about this, my friend Destiny. What's crazy is that as a child, when my grandmother died, I didn't feel like I was loved. My mother, she didn't raise me. She wasn't around because she was so young herself. And my grandfather raised me. But my grandfather had his own issues. So I was able to just live, you know, with a lot of freedom that someone my age, as a young child, should not have. And I didn't have any siblings. And, you know, so I didn't really feel like a lot of love. My family was very distant and secretive. So I just came to the realization today that I picked someone who did not love me, because I never felt loved. I never felt parental love. My father disappeared, so I never had parental love. And like I said, my mother was too young. You know, she was still being a teenager. And I'm okay with that. Because I probably would have did the same thing, just based off of my history. So I'm probably blessed that I didn't have any children. Or not at a young age. You know, if I had children at an older age, it probably would have helped me a lot. It probably would have helped me to be a better parent. And that was another thing that was promised to me that was never fulfilled. And that's what I'm saying. You really have to live for your own purpose. Don't ever live for someone else's purpose. You know, if I wanted a child and if she was not going to give me one, I should have left her a long time ago. And did what I wanted to do and followed my dreams. But I didn't do that, because I always felt trapped. You know, because we always lived from check to check to check. I knew that if I ever had to start over, I would start over with nothing. And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm starting over with nothing. And I'm doing that after a stroke. I wish I would have done it before. You know, I would have had more leverage. But this way is making me stronger. And that's the reason why I know when I get to the other side of this, I'm going to be amazing. I'm going to be amazing. You know, my friend was telling me tonight about all the things I did that hurt her. And I told her, I didn't deny, not one. I didn't make excuses. I told her she was 100% right. And I did it because I was in a relationship where I didn't feel any love. I come from a childhood where I didn't feel any love, and I didn't handle it like she did. She handled it by loving everyone. I handled it by hurting everyone. I hurt everyone around me because I was hurt, and I was a hurt person hurting other people. So, I mean, you reap what you sow. And that's the reason why I'm going through what I'm going through right now. I know this is not the reason why I had the stroke. That's not the reason why I had the stroke. I mean, the reason why I had the stroke is because I had a lot of stress. And my weight, I was overweight. So I wasn't very healthy. Because I was sick inside. Because I had a broken heart. Because I didn't care. I didn't feel love. And I didn't love. So that's the reason why I went through everything that I went through. Like I said, I was a very hard parent. I was very strict. And I thought I was doing the right thing because I was very regimented. Everything was on a schedule for me. And that's the kind of parent I was. Everything had to be done, and it had to be finished and completed. And you had to get good grades and be respectful. And if with those things, I was good. But I got a lot of pushback, and I got no support. So I was unhappy, I was angry, and I was taken out on the people that I loved, because I did truly love all of them, but I wasn't expressing love. I was expressing hurt and pain, and feeling the pain of being in a marriage that there was no love. There was no partnership. You know, it was always them against me. And Shyla stood up for me a lot, and she did a lot to help me. But then, you know, everyone. And Rainbow had the nerve to tell the judge that Shyla... She said, oh, Shyla's not listening, but she's in the other room, and she can testify. And knowing Rainbow and knowing my daughter, Shyla was sitting right there listening to everything. Guaranteed. Because that's the kind of relationship that they have. Rainbow has told Shyla about all the times that she's cheated on me. And I learned these things from Shyla. So 1,010% I'm sure that Shyla was sitting right there. And that sucks. I did a lot of pacing. A lot of pacing. Because the Desiree that first had a stroke, had her stroke, would have called Rainbow and lit a fire under her ass and fucking tore her apart for lying and for treating me like trash. But you know what? It didn't matter, because I knew from that one Bible verse in the very beginning that I was gonna lose and that the devil was gonna win. And I'm sorry, but the devil won today, because I told you all the reasons why. And I shouldn't call her a devil, but I'm saying the devil won, because the devil is truly working against me. So the devil won, but that's okay. It's okay. Because like I said, God sent me a message first. And as long as that message came from God first, the devil means nothing. Because we all know how the devil wins. He wins by lying. He wins by sinning. And he did it again. So it's okay. God is good to me. And I'm very happy that I spoke to God first. Because if I would have never spoke to God first and gotten that verse, I would be speaking to the devil the very moment that the judge was rude to me, to now still being rude to Rainbow, because that is how mad I was. And I had to just pace, and I prayed, and I talked to my friend, and now I'm doing this podcast, and it all makes me feel better. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be dirty and grimy and just you know, I'm not trying to be that. I'm just telling my story. And if you listen to any of the other earlier podcasts, those were very early in my recovery. So that I listened to some of them, and they're very difficult to understand. Because that's how messed up my brain was. So I'm surviving. I'm still doing my exercises. My best friend had me do some things with my hand today that I've never done. And she gave me the encouragement. I couldn't only imagine where I would be if I had my wife's encouragement. So if I would have had both of them at the same time, I would probably be a whole lot better. Because I have my family encouragement. I encourage myself. I have my friend. If I would have had my family, I would have been unstoppable. But that's what I'm saying. This is not about, you know, trying to bring someone down or trying to hurt somebody or ruin their character. This is just my story. And this is just something that I would never, ever do to anyone. I just would not do it. And I'm very, very surprised that it's happening to me only. Not because I didn't deserve it. I do deserve it. I deserve it in a way that I need to learn. I need to learn. And I need to never, ever make this mistake again. But I don't deserve it because I did more good for that family than anything else. I helped that family survive disasters. So I don't think that I should be compensated in the way that I'm being compensated now. I have two accounts. In one account, I have like under a dollar. And in my other account, I'm going to have next to nothing. Because I have to pay for my luggage to take it back home. So I'm going to have nothing. Do I deserve that? After being a babysitter for 12 years? You know, when Rainbow first introduced me, she introduced me to her children as the help. So I guess I went in as the help, and now I'm going out as the help, just based on my bank account. She had thought that I was getting money because I added Cash App to my profile page. So that means she's looking at my page. I added Cash App to my profile page out of desperation. Because I have no money. So yeah, I thought someone would throw me a tip here or there. And it didn't happen. And that's okay. I tried. It's okay. I shoot my shot. As what the youngins call it. I shot, whatever you call it. I took a shot. And it didn't work. But she thinks that I'm like, I must be really appealing. I must be doing something right for her to think that I'm actually getting paid for this. But she's wrong. I'm not getting any money. The only thing I'm getting out of it is what I wanted to put into it. I want it to be an inspiration. And that's what I'm getting out of it. I'm being an inspiration to others. So I've accomplished my goal. And like, the Cash App was shooting my shot. You know, I was hoping some, you know, that's it. So, like I said, I walked in as the help. I walked out as the help. But God is so good. And he just made me turn to him. And I'm glad I did. Because I would be in a much, much darker place if I did not turn to God first. I'm telling you, God is good. God is amazing. God has changed my life. I look forward to being baptized. The first time I was baptized, I was 12. I was 12 years old. I didn't understand even then because I had never went to church. The second time I was baptized, it was after my aneurysms, and I was going to church, but I was not feeling love. You know, all I was doing was following. I really wasn't reading the word. I wasn't studying the word. I wasn't turning to God. I was just being like one of the kids. Oh, damn it, I gotta go to church. All right, let me go to church. Let me stand up. Let me dance. Let me sing. Let me tap my feet. But I was never really taking it in. The only time I took in the word, it was when I went to church by myself. I went to church twice by myself. And that's the only time, only two times I heard the word. But the first time was a negative way, because the preacher straight up said, and this is the church I went to when after I recovered from my double aneurysm rupture, that preacher said that gay people should not be in church. When he said that, I walked out in front of everyone. I walked out. I had stitches in my head. My head was bald. I was by myself, and I walked out. The second time I went to church by myself was after I got into a fight with the entire family, and I went to the church downtown by myself. And that time I really felt the word, and I heard the word. Not with Rainbow, because I've been to that church with Rainbow and the kids. I heard the word when I went by myself. Because like I said, I didn't feel any love. So, I mean, how can I open my heart to receive love? But ever since my stroke and ever since my separation, not even ever since my separation, because the separation, I was still living two lives. I was still being the help. I was still getting the kids to school, still getting them back. I was still being a strict mom, still not putting up with any bullshit, no disrespect. And I was angry, and I was hurt, and I was hurting people. There was no love. So I couldn't do it. So when I went on my own, I lost my train of thought. When I went on my own, I was able to feel love. And I got it. After my stroke was when I started really getting into the word. After my stroke, when I started working out, I would follow Rainbow's sister and Rainbow's mother on my Bible app and follow Rainbow. And you see what they're doing. And I used to follow all of the plans that her sister would follow. But then when they all abandoned me, I unfollowed all of them. All of them. And I just followed it on my own. It had nothing to do with them anymore. And that's when I really started paying attention and following the word. And that's when I started believing it. And I would pray every single day. On my Bible app, let me try to figure this out. Okay, I have 88 weeks of being on the Bible app. My streak is 248 days. So since then, I've been doing this. I'm committed. I'm committed to His word. To His word. I'm committed to turning to Him. And I'm going to be good. I'm going to be okay. And even if the devil wins with the decision decision after my divorce, that's okay too. Because no matter what, the more pain I go through, the better I will come on the other side. On the other side, I'll be much better. So I'm ready. I'm ready. You know, I gotta work on my hand more because I got work to do. And this is what I was telling my friend. You know, either she can come with me or I'm gonna have to leave her behind. But I got work to do. Like, I'm on a mission. And I'm gonna ask for help. And if I don't get help, I'm gonna try to do it on my own. No matter how many times I do it wrong, I'm gonna keep trying until I get it right. But I tried with my divorce paperwork again. And if I didn't get that right, then I'm not doing it anymore. I tried 2 times. It's obvious I don't know what I'm doing. She's gonna have to call a mediator and she's gonna have to pay for it. Because I don't know how to do this. She's depending on someone. I gotta get my music back. She's been depending on someone who had a stroke. I wonder if they stop. Right here. She's depending on someone who had a stroke to complete the divorce paperwork. The shit I sent out today, I don't know if any of it is correct. I do not know what the fuck I'm doing. I have no money. I can't pay for an attorney. If she wanted to divorce me so bad, why didn't she just pay for an attorney and do it herself? I'm down with mediation. If she sat me in the room and said, this is what I'm going to give you, and this is what I'm doing, and this is what I'm not going to do. If we didn't agree after that, then we go on, she gets her lawyer, and we go to court. But she's standing by doing nothing. Letting someone who just survived a stroke handle something so complicated as a divorce. Does that make any sense to you? It really doesn't make any sense to me. And like I said, this woman makes 6 figures. She got a promotion and a raise. I have nothing. Nothing. I'm not going to ask my family for any more money. No. Everything is going in the trash, and I'm going to work with what I got. I'm only praying that I get my suitcases, because once I have my suitcases, then I'm good. And that's the one thing that I'm stressed about, because I ordered it, only 1 came in. So he sent me 2 more. So I'm going to have enough suitcases to get my stuff home in suitcases. That's how little I have. I'm going to have like 5 suitcases of stuff. That's what I'm leaving with. I hardly have nothing. I got rid of all my furniture. I told you about the blessing, what I did with my bedroom furniture. So I'm... You know, I don't need a lot, but I need to get home. And I just wanted a little bit so that when I got home, my mother didn't have to pay for all of my stuff. The little things I wanted to take care of with my money. So that's the reason why I only asked for a little bit. And she lied and she got out of it. And the judge believed her, and I have nothing. So I'm going to be trapped in the house because I'm not going to go out and spend my mother's money and ask her to get me a gym membership. No, I'm going to rearrange the apartment to have some space, and I'm going to continue to do my exercises at home. I'm not spending any of my mother's money. All I have is food, my food, my EBT card, and I don't care. This is my whole life. No, people would be embarrassed to say these things. But this is what I did for my family. You know, I remember getting food assistance when it was me and the kids in Rainbow. And we lived in Maryland. And Rainbow was too embarrassed to use the card for the food because one of the women had announced EBT real loud. And who was standing there with the EBT card? Me. Because Rainbow was too embarrassed. Who do you think went to the register and paid every single time? Me, because I didn't care. I was taking care of my family. It didn't matter where the money was coming from. It didn't matter that I was on unemployment. It didn't matter that I worked at Toys R Us. I did whatever it took to save my family. And then I worked at Planet Fitness to save my family. When I started my job at Planet Fitness, I was fucking overweight. And the guy who was the instructor, whose job I was taking because he was moving on, was in physically fit condition. And I'd look like, what the fuck is she doing getting this job? And I busted my ass and I fucking toned down. And the pictures that you saw on my page from Texas, that's what I looked like. I was in great shape because I had to do what I had to do to take care of my family. So I took my job seriously and I got in shape and I trained people and I was making shit money, but it didn't matter. I had to use it to take care of my family. Rainbow had the good job. She was probably making in the 50s then, not six figures. You know, just middle class. I was just above poverty, but it didn't matter. I was doing it because we had bills to pay. And we had, you know, we had kids to feed. So I didn't care. I didn't care about, you know, being on public assistance. I didn't care that we lived in a two-bedroom apartment in the hood. I didn't care about any of that because my family was taken care of. And that's what I did throughout this whole process. I took care of my family. I did whatever it took. I worked that job that eventually had both of my aneurysms rupture in my brain. Because I wasn't getting any sleep. I was forced to do overtime because the people that were in charge didn't know what they were doing. When you do a forced overtime list, you go through the entire list. You don't keep resetting the list, you know, every time, you know, for the rookies. Every day they reset the list. In Tucson, they reset the list when they went through the entire list. And people with seniority could refuse. But everybody wanted to make money. So a lot of times they did not refuse. But I had to work and I had to work and I had to work. And the reason why I kept that job is because Rainbow wanted the house. She wanted the house that we REC. It wasn't even a fucking loan. It was a REC. And I worked to get that REC. And we put the $15,000 down. And we got it. You know, and I thought she was cheating on me. But it doesn't negate that I was a shitty parent. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no clue. I was winging it. When I first got there, there was a lot of aggression. And when I first got there, Rainbow ruled with an iron fist. And I took that and I ran with it. But I didn't stop. And that's where the problem came. It was automatic. It was automatic to me. It was like living in the military. You know, you people had chores. There was order. There was no disrespect. And that's what it was. Because that's how it was with my grandfather. You know, whenever I had to do something, I did it. If I had to go to school and get good grades, my grandfather didn't have to tell me. No one had to tell me. That was an expectation. But respect was an expectation. There was no way I would ever be allowed to disrespect an adult. It didn't matter. And that was back in the projects. That was when a village raised you. If any of the parents that I was hanging out with, my friends, heard me be disrespectful to them or disrespectful to my grandparent, that wouldn't happen. So we were just raised different. It was a different culture. But for me, it was like, it was automatic. It was like robotic. You know, I was not feeling any love in my marriage, in my relationship. So it was really hard for me to give love. It was all lust. And that was in the very beginning. From then on, it became a job to me. I had to take care of my family. But, you know, I wasn't a good parent. I didn't know what I was doing. I was not getting love. I didn't know how to give love. Like, my love would be in very short outbursts, like short bursts of love. A hug there. You know, not even for some reason, you know, in my past, I was sexually assaulted. So whenever anyone hugged me, you know, whenever kids hugged me, I was like, no, because I didn't want any of my kids to feel any kind of way, because I know what it was like to have an adult do those things to you. So me just hugging someone was an option. It was very short and abrupt and brief, because I don't know if I subconsciously just couldn't do it, because I don't know why. I just could not. I was not a hugger. I was not in a big on I love you. Like, I really didn't say I love you. My kids are the ones who got me to say I love you, because they said it so much. Not my wife. She said it to the kids a lot. It wasn't said to me. It was only said to me, like, after an apology, after an argument. It wasn't real. It was not real love. Because real love, you don't even have to say it. Real love, you feel it. And that's why when my friend said to me, the reason why she left her ex is because she saw how I loved, and she deserved it too, because I was just loving, but I was doing it for someone and was not getting it back. That's how fucked up I was. That's how dysfunctional I was. But that's not what I am now. And I had to explain to my friend, there's no wanting of someone who cannot want you the entire relationship, but keep dragging you along the entire relationship. And then it's convenient to walk away when I had a stroke and I have nothing. And I can't move my hand and my speech is messed up. I mean, people can't not tell me. People always tell me, oh, your speech is fine. I can hear it. I'm not stupid. I can hear it. I'm not deaf, I should say. I'm not deaf. I can feel it. But for someone to drag me along for so long, was I such a bad person? Are you that fucked up? Or did you have an agenda? I think it's a little bit of everything. You are fucked up. What you did was fucked up. And you did it because you had an agenda. And I was the sacrificial lamb. And like the verse says, and I'll read it again because it's important. Jeremiah 4:18, your own conduct and actions have brought this on you. This is your punishment. How bitter it is. How it pierces to the heart. That's real talk. That's God giving me real talk. And it doesn't get any more clear than that. So I'm okay. I'm going to be okay. I'm not going to stop. And it's a lesson. We all go through these things for lessons. I'm not trying to degrade anyone. I want people to learn from my story and not take it and abuse anyone with it. You know, I'm learning. And I'm not trying to hurt anyone. So this is my story, and I'm going to tell it. So if you listen to all of this, thank you. I'm going to be okay. My music went off, which is a bummer. Let me find it. Oh, no. That stinks. Anyway. Let's do that one. All right. So if you listen to this whole thing, thank you. My music is back on. I'm happy. I'm okay. And I'm looking at that beautiful little cat right there. And she is such a blessing. I'm truly blessed. I'm good. And I'm going to be okay. I'm going to figure it out. One thing that God has made me, He made me resilient. And if I could figure it out for a family of five for 12 years, I could figure it out for one, for me. For the rest of my life. For a person. For one. I don't know how to say it. I can do this is what I'm saying. And I look forward to it. You know. God is so good. And I feel like a weight has been lifted. A weight has come off of my shoulders. So like I said, I'm just trying to tell my story, and that's it. And to all the people who have a story to tell, tell your story. Tell it. You know, send me a message in my Instagram, Desiree Celeste, the Miracle Child, in my Instagram. And I want to hear your story. I want to hear it. God is good. Have a blessed evening. Good night.